be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother Lazarus, who had died. When St. Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of him, he will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And no one who lives and believes in me will ever die. Do you believe this?" Martha replied, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Martha is one of the unfortunate saints. History of the church, it seems that she's always been lost in comparison. She's the icon of the active life, which loses in comparison to the contemplative life, as so many of these great saints have said. We need to understand what's really happening in her life. But I think on this feast day, it's key for us to grasp that we celebrate the saints not only so that we can invoke their intercession, but so that we can learn from their virtues. Today I'd like to focus together on four virtues that Martha exhibits to an excellent degree, four virtues that should mark every Christian, four virtues that should mark every sister of life and every priest. The first virtue is the one for which she's most famous, welcoming. The other gospel that could be used for this feast, we have that famous scene from Luke 10, when Jesus entered a village. And it tells us where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. And that's a very, very strange phrase. Would have made sense where if it had said, for example, that Jesus was welcomed in the house of Lazarus, because houses, the deeds were always in the male line. Would have made total sense that Jesus was welcome to the house of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, perhaps. But it singles out Martha, because she was the one who took that welcome incredibly seriously. She was the one who opened herself up. For us in our Christian life, we're always called to be welcoming in this way. St. Benedict, of course, is the great icon of Christian hospitality. But with him, St. Martha shows us how to welcome the Lord Jesus. St. Jose Maria Escrivá, whenever he would found a new center in Opus Dei, as soon as the Blessed Sacrament were brought into the tabernacle and the chapel that had been constructed there, he would begin to call the house a little Bethany, to symbolize that that was a place in which Jesus himself meant to be welcomed. The prayer of the church focuses on this welcome of St. Martha. The opening prayer, as I'm sure you taught, we turn to God and we say, "Whose son was pleased to be welcomed in St. Martha's house as a guest. We pray that we might likewise be welcomed by God in the halls of heaven." Great saint of welcoming. Jesus is always saying or wanting to say to us. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Welcome means that the door is open, that we really are not too busy to have space for someone else. And it's a crucial aspect of spiritual maternity to have this type of welcome. And the more you grow in this virtue, the easier it will be for the women to whom God sends you to learn how to welcome a stranger who might have been unwanted and surprising, who has come into their life within. First virtue is welcoming. But welcoming is not enough. We can welcome somebody into the home and just say, make yourself comfortable, and we just take off our shoes and sit down in a comfortable chair and leave them all to themselves. The second virtue is Martha's loving service. Now, after Lazarus was raised from the dead, it tells us that Martha threw a party where to all the guests she ministered to them. But her ministry was this loving service of those who were in need. She always, in Catholic tradition, is lost in comparison to her sister Mary, because there was one aspect of her Christian discipleship that she didn't really grasp, was that Jesus had come to Bethany primarily not to be served, but to serve, primarily not to be fed, but to feed. And it was only Mary seated at his feet who had that type of openness to allow Jesus to minister to them. Martha was so focused on constantly ministering to others that she missed that something was prior, that Mary had chosen the better part, that really only one thing was necessary, that Mary had focused far more on grace than service. Martha needed to learn that. She did, over the course of time, as we're going to see. But for us, we all need to learn from the loving service. Once we have welcomed Jesus within, once we allow him to serve us, we recognize that he wants to serve us in a transformative way, so that together we might love others as he has loved us, we might serve them as he has served and ministered to us. Now, I like to think about Martha when I see her doing this service of Jesus after she was gently upbraided by him. But from that point forward, she had learned the lesson that she needed to work with a contemplative spirit like Mary did. And likely in her work, there was a physical manifestation of the love that was leading her to this type of ministry. In the first reading, we see that famous scene when Moses would come out of prayer with his face absolutely glowing. This, I don't think, was merely an objective thing that happened to his face, though it clearly was. Kind of like when we go out in the sun on a sunny day, our face will show that we were there. It doesn't require a great deal of work, and there might have been a little bit of a contemplative tan on Moses' face. But I also think that that glow had a subjective aspect to it, that it was a sacrament of what was happening on the inside of Moses, that when Moses was praying, he was being filled more and more with the love for the one whom he was adoring, and that was changing everything. We've always seen people who are ultimately in love. There's something different about them. They do glow. We see someone who lives in a truly holy way, serving God and serving others. Pope Benedict once used the phrase that they glow with fervor. And when I think about Martha serving Jesus, serving the other, I'm seeing someone not just say, crud, guess over here, somebody's got to care for them. We see someone with great enthusiasm, who's glowing as the person's serving. It's one of the most important ways to communicate love, when people are able to read it on our faces, that we serve others with great cheerfulness and joy. It changes everything. People can open up in a circumstance like that. It's the second virtue we see in St. Mark, which is the virtue of a spiritual mom. Third virtue is incredible faith in Martha. I love this gospel scene. When Martha and Mary had sent word that the one that he loved, Lazarus, was dying, was ill at the point of death, was the Greek word, Jesus just stayed put. He was just outside of Bethany. He stayed put in such a way that it bewildered the disciples. They were wondering why he was tarrying, and he just responded cryptically, so that the glory of God might be revealed. He waited until the fourth day Lazarus was dead before he showed up. For the Jews, based on certain passages in the writings of the prophets, had always believed that resurrection, resuscitation really, was possible until day three, that the soul was hovering around the body, looking for some type of aperture to return until the third day. But in the fourth day, according to the Jewish mentality, the person was really dead. It was over. No coming back. As if the body had already totally decomposed. And that's the day Jesus went. And as soon as people got word that Jesus was coming, Martha ran out to meet him. Mary was contemplatively praying in the house. Martha was going on out to welcome Jesus. She wasn't in a huge pity party. She did go out, and I think that there was probably both a tone of faith, but also disappointment when she said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died." She had great faith that Jesus' presence would have been able to work that for her brother. But then we see how great her faith was. "Yet even now I know that whatever you ask him, he will give you." Now, Martha and Mary had definitely talked to Jesus every time that he came over to their house. Probably the apostles couldn't stop telling the story. "Hey, listen to this. So the synagogue official named Jairus called us to go into his house, and everybody's weeping outside. They're playing the dirges and they're playing the flute, and Jesus gets mocked because he says that this little girl is not dead but sleeping. And then he went in and he touched her and he got her up, and then he told the old woman to give her something to eat." They would have heard that story. They would have heard the story of the collision of the dual processions in Nain, where you've got this whole funeral cortege coming on out, and Jesus, with a great multitude following him, they intersect. And Jesus sees this woman weeping. She was a widow and had lost her only son, the one who was supposed to care for her. And Jesus went up and he touched what would make him ritually impure, that bier on which the dead boy was being carried. He just told him to get up. And he got up. They probably would have been asking for every detail. And Martha knew what had occurred then. But hey, listen, little girl had just died. Soul was hovering. This boy was being buried the day he had died, according to the Jewish tradition. This was on the fourth day. "Yet, whatever you ask of him, he will give you." And then Jesus really wanted to bring Martha deeper in faith, like he's always trying to bring us deeper in faith. He said to her, "Your brother will rise in the resurrection. Your brother will rise," knowing what he was about to do. And Martha, because she had certainly asked what happens after we die, this was the only way she would have known the content of what she was saying. She would have asked the Lord when he had come on over and listened very carefully. I know we will rise in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus wanted to take the resurrection from a fact, from an occurrence that would come down the road, to a relationship. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, will live. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then the most poignant words, looking St. Martha straight in her dilated pupils, he said, do you believe this? And Martha, helped by the Lord, points to the real ground of every Christian faith. She had never seen somebody risen from the dead, especially this late in time, but she said, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. Just like Jesus would have said to St. Peter, how, the only way you could have known this is my Father told you that I was the Messiah, the Son of God. So Martha had been filled with that same grace from above, and she showed the real faith. Because I believe in you, I believe in what you say. That the resurrection is this relationship with Jesus, and when we're in that communion with him, because his life is eternal, we will never die. Even if the bios in us, as I was mentioning last week, is stripped from us, the Zoe remains. That higher life with God remains. And that's when Jesus went to the tomb, said, roll away the stone, Lazarus, come out. The Lord wants each of us to learn from St. Martha this type of faith. Because we believe in Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, there is literally nothing he can't do. We trust him to do the ordinary things. But a lot of the times we can get discouraged that when we really need a miracle, that maybe he just doesn't really want to give it to us. And we start sort of saying all of these other types of things about, well, maybe it's just not God's will or anything else. Some of the times it's a thing of faith. But we need to say like Martha, yet even now I know that whatever you ask of God the Father, he will give you. I know, Jesus, I've asked you this 50 times, but yet I still believe that whatever you ask the Lord, he will give you. To pray with the faith of Martha can do things far more splendid than what happened on the outskirts of Bethany. And the last of the four virtues is the desire to share Jesus with others. Immediately after this scene, Martha runs to her sister Mary. She says words that have been inscribed on the frontispieces of so many altars in ancient Europe. Magister ad est et vocat te. The Master is here, and he's calling you. She wasn't just going to keep that experience to herself. She wasn't just going to bring him to the tomb. She wanted Mary to share in the Lord Jesus' presence. She wanted to bring her to respond to his call. And in essence, we're all called to be vocation erectors in the same way. That when people come to us, especially with all their pain, when people come looking for Jesus through us because we represent God, for us to be able to remind them that the Master's here for us. He's here for you. And he's calling you. He's calling you through this circumstance to unite yourself ever more in faith to him. He's calling you. We see what happened with Mary. She immediately got up, and Martha accompanied her to Jesus. And then the miracle occurred. It's important for us to remember always that the Master is here and calling us. And the more we respond to that summons, which isn't just a daily one, but it's multiple times throughout every day, the easier it is for us to be able to communicate that same holy summons to others. Today, as we come forward, the Lord wants to make our whole lives glow by His presence. We ask through St. Martha's intercession that we might welcome Him here on this altar and welcome Him within the Bethany, which is supposed to be our body and soul, like Martha did. That we might seek to serve Him as He wishes to be served, in the way He wishes to be served, as in disguise. Those poor and those lonely and those frightened, and the strangers and those who will come to us today with an appointment or without an appointment, even in the distressing disguise of people with sisters of life habits and veils on. We pray for the grace in order to grow in faith that we can say to Him today with whatever petitions we're carrying on our heart, I know You are the resurrection and the life. And when I receive You, You wish to raise me from the dead. You wish to fill me with life and abundance. And we remember that He who calls us here asks us to be His loudspeakers, to go out and call others to join us. That's what we mark on this Feast of St. Martha. And as we pray in the opening prayer today, we pray that through our welcoming of Jesus, following her example, that the Lord Jesus, with St. Martha and her sister Mary and her brother Lazarus and all the saints, will rejoice to welcome us in that place in which all the angels and saints focus on the one thing necessary, that better part. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.